I want to speak briefly on Matthew chapter 9. I'll read just few verses. And I read few verses in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I read verse 36 to 38. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep with no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, and he will send forth laborers into the harvest. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Father, this is your word. We need you to help us to be able to understand and share your word with others. We thank you for your children that are here. Father, they are here to hear your word. Naturally, as human beings, we cannot feed them. Only the Spirit of the truth, the Holy Spirit, can feed your children. As we've met here tonight, I pray you will feed us with your word and get your word to work in our hearts and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many years ago, somebody left the shore of your country, came to Africa. The person didn't come to make me educated. Neither did he come to make me a civilized person. He came with a black book. He pointed me to Jesus. He's given me the best of all life. I had no hope. I was in darkness. I was on my way to hell. He told me about Jesus. I trusted the message and Christ saved me. I'm saved and I have eternal life. I thank God for that missionary. Shortly after I got saved, I thought, now that I'm saved, everything will run smoothly. All my problems are solved. That's what I thought. I then thought that I will have no problem from that day whatsoever. It's finished. It didn't take me long to discover that I'm now in a battle with Satan. In my desire to want to live to please God, to do his will, I found out that a Christian life is a struggle, a battle, frustration, disappointment. I came to find out that I always found also that with all these, in Jesus Christ, we can be more than victors. We are more than conquerors, as long as we trust him. One thing that beat my mind at that time, I said, listen, Jesus Christ, you've saved me. I know. And you promised to take me to heaven. And I know I'm on my way to heaven. Why did you leave me here among non-Christians? So that my Christian life will be a struggle, frustration, and disappointment. Why did you leave me here? Why didn't you take me home as soon as I got saved? So that I can rest my soul with you. The battle had been so fierce. And I will ask Jesus, why didn't he take me home when I got saved?
Why do I have to go through struggling and wanting to live for Him? Why do I have to meet people who are non-Christian and they will treat me in a wicked way? Why have you let me here? And I found out that for every child of God that had been saved, Jesus left us here for a purpose. We are saved. We can go to heaven. We can get rested there. And all will be over. No more tears. Then, our last place will be with Jesus. But why has He not taken us home? Why has He left us here? I have found that God has a purpose in our life to fulfill. He wants to use every one of us for a definite purpose. And until we submit to Him and allow Him to use us, we can't be happy in Jesus. Our happiness will depend upon our commitment to Christ to use us for His glory. We need to be fully committed. We need to be an instrument in the hands of God to use us everywhere He sees fit. Then we'll be happy. So, there are different verses in the Bible. I want us to see the reason why God has left Christians in non-Christian world. Why has He left us here? Turn with me to John 15. John 15. The Gospel of John 15. I read John 15. This is a profound word of God. I want to explain it the best way I know how. See, ye have not chosen me. For every person who is saved today, we are not saved by human effort. God, in His mercy, in His love, He sought for us and He saved us. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." He sought us. He saved us. It's not our effort. For by grace are ye saved, a gift. Salvation is a gift. God gave it to us. But He has a purpose to fulfill. He said, He has chosen us. He is the one who saved us. We didn't save ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves. He wants us to understand this. Look at it. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. For what purpose? Listen. I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth what? Fruits. Friends, please listen to me. This is the key. Our main purpose of living here is to bear fruits, to win others. Here is where commitment comes in. We must bear fruit, win others for Him. This is the purpose. God didn't take us to heaven when we got saved because He wanted us to be a light in darkness. He wanted us to point others to Him. Please listen. Our happiness, our joy, our excitement in Christ depends on this. When we are able to fulfill this obligation of winning others, telling others about Jesus, we'll be happy. Oh yes, it brings happiness. Obedience to God's word brings happiness. We have fullness of joy when we do this. And He said, that ye may bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. A guarantee. When we obey Him in bearing fruit, whatever we need, if we ask God, He will give it to us. Obedience And there's a reward. There's a reward. He tied it together. When you are fulfilling the purpose for why God left you here, whatever you need, He will give it to you. He said so. And He will do it. Acts 19. Please let's go to Acts 19. Acts 19. I read. God saved us for a purpose. And until we allow ourselves to fulfill that purpose, we can't be happy. Acts 19. I read. In Acts 19, verse 16. Oh, Acts chapter 9. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 16. I read. Acts 9. It tells about conversion of Paul. When Paul got saved, verse 16 said, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Verse 15 said, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he has chosen a vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles." God said, "I saved him. He's going to heaven, but I've got to use him. He's going to be my servant to talk to the Gentiles about me." And the same reason, for the same reason, he saved us and left us here so that we can tell others, lost ones, about him. That's our purpose here. We must do it. As believers in Christ, living in a non-Christian world, our purpose is to seek to reach others with Christ. I'm glad that somebody came and reached me for Jesus Christ. Missions. Missionary. He's no more there, but God has saved me so that I can also reach others for Christ. And those whom the people I reach, they're also going out to reach many others. This is God's way of saving the lost. And as I read this verse, the verse that we have just read, I can tell the truth that God saved us, left us here to be light, to be shining, so that those who are in darkness would come to light. So those without Christ will come to know Christ, the light of the world. That's our purpose. Before we can do this, certain things have to happen in our lives before we can be a vessel used for the master's, meet for the master's used in reaching others. We've got to see that certain things that should be evidence in my life, in your life, then we will be a vessel that God can use to reach the unsaved, the world of sinners, to himself. First, let's go back to Matthew chapter 9 again, verse 36. Please let's go back. We'll see it one by one. Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, verse 36. I read. Please watch. "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them." Friends, may God help us to see people like Jesus saw them. When Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. This is what led Jesus to do something.
You know what?
Compassion means to feel concern about somebody. Not only to feel concern, but to feel so concerned to want to do something. When Jesus saw the multitude, he was so concerned, so involved, so desired to do something because he saw them as sheep without shepherd. Friends, every day you and I meet people. We meet them. We see them. We talk to them. How do we see them? Oh, we see they are people just like we are. We are not concerned about their spiritual. We are not concerned about their spiritual status. No. No compassion. We do not think about their relationship with Jesus. That's all. We greet them. Are you fine? Are you okay? They said they're okay. Are they really okay without Christ? They are not. But my Bible said when Jesus saw the crowds that gathered around him, he had compassion on them. Because they were so empty. Jesus saw the emptiness in them. He saw that inside them they are empty. There's a vacuum that is not filled with God. He did not only see that. Jesus, when he saw them, he saw that they are hurting inside. There's a hurt. That inside is empty. There's a hurt. Something is hurting. Sin. It's full of sin. They are hurting inside. This is where the compassion came from. They are empty. They are hurting. They are helpless. Inside them, there's something they want. People we meet, they smile, they dress nicely, they talk nicely. But if we are spiritual concerned, we'll see that down deep in their heart, they are so empty, they are hurting, they need help. They need help. Every person you meet without Christ, without Jesus Christ, there's a vacuum there. Emptiness there. Are we so concerned? To want to do something, compassion for them, to talk to them. They dress like we dressed, so nice looking. But there they are hurting. They are hurting. And when you see them, even though they don't say it, they are looking for help. Here, there. We Christians have become so careless, so complacent. We see physical need and we help them, but their spiritual need we neglect. May God help us. Jesus saw their needs. Even though they were dressed in their finest and they are acting their best behavior, they are still hurting. Yes. How do you see them? Do you see their spiritual need? Do you see them as sheep without a shepherd? Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd. The man who came to Africa, he was a white man and a black man. I have nose, he has nose. I have head, he has nose. He walked, I can walk. He said, well, that's okay. He's human just like I am. But he saw beyond that. He saw beyond that. He saw that I am empty inside. He brought things from America, clothes, as poor as I was. His need is not clothes, not physical. His need is spiritual. And you know what? He sat me down. I was hurting inside. I was empty. He knew exactly what I need. He gave me Jesus. Amen. That's the need of the whole world, my friend.
Amen.
You have him. I have him. Everyone sitting here have him. Somebody told you about him. It's our responsibility to tell them.
Amen.
Friends, this is the compassion we need. This is the commitment we need. That everybody we see, our neighbors, our friends, we should tell them about Jesus. Jesus saw the multitude. He looked beyond their physical need. He looked beyond material need. He saw their spiritual need. May God give us the eye of Jesus.
Amen.
Your purpose in this world is not to make money for yourself. Even though it's needful that you make money and feed your family. But the main reason why God has left you here as a Christian is that you must bring others to Him. See compassion. We have crowds around us. Crowds around us. I go to Burger King. Pastor and I went to Burger King. See people around. We go to Walmart. See people around. We just walk and pass them. Even common tracks to give them, we don't. We become selfish. Complacency. We don't care anymore. God give us compassion that Jesus had. That whenever we see people everywhere around a crowd, Walmart, everywhere, gas station, everywhere, they are everywhere. In Africa, we all walk. It's easy. We all walk. We don't have cars. Give them trucks. Give them trucks. Give them trucks. And sometimes, many times when you give them tracks in Africa, you say they're busy. Satan will tell you, don't stop them, they're busy. But you stop them and talk to them. They will thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You made my day, they will tell you. Because you are hitting at something they need in their lives. And these are crowd around us. We must do something. We have people who live near us. They may be our neighbors. They are people we see in town, gas station, restaurants. They are bleeding in their hearts. Oh, they are bleeding. Turn to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. Please turn to it. This is their condition. Their condition. Psalm 142. Please, I want you to see their condition and what Psalm 142. Verse 4. Look at this. I look on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Hey, listen. They look here, no help. They look there, no help. They want refuge for their soul. And they have concluded, because we don't have compassion, you know their conclusion. No man care for my soul. Don't we care? Someone cared enough to point you to Christ. It's your turn to turn others to Christ. May God give us and make us to be compassionate and care for the lost souls around Madisonville. Thank you for allowing me to represent you in Africa. you sent me to go and to tell others about Jesus. I'm doing it. But you also have responsibility in Madisonville. This pew will be filled. If we will be committed, have compassion, tell them, not only will this pew be filled, heaven will be filled. Angels of heaven will rejoice. For sinners will come to Christ when we are fully committed. Friends, God left us here so that we would have compassion and talk to lost ones about Jesus. I don't only see compassion of Jesus. I see harvest. In the verse we read, I see harvest. Verse 37. You see, the harvests are plenteous. The harvests are plenteous. You know what that means? It means people everywhere need Christ. That's how plenty is. Countless of people, they need Christ. Listen, if you see a person in need and you have something that he needs, you do have it. Wouldn't you give it to him? You see the need, and this is what he needs, and you have it. Why don't you give it to him? Are we going to hoard Jesus? We shouldn't be hoarders. Freely ye receive, freely ye must what? Give. Listen. Our main purpose is to glorify God here. And the best way to glorify God is to point people to Jesus for whom he died for. Then we are glorifying his name. We are concerned about physical needs, but we must see beyond their physical needs. We must go beyond that. I want to say tonight, there are thousands of people in Madisonville who are ready to listen to us. Their need has driven them to a place where they want to hear, they want to listen. We won't talk to them. We won't tell them. That is why Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous. I was searching, worshiping idols, going here and there, until somebody, I was ready to listen. But who would tell me? Somebody came and told me. They are searching. They are waiting. They want to listen, but who will talk to them? You and I must talk to them. They are ready to listen. That is why Jesus said the harvest is plenteous. But we pass by, close mouth. Satan will get us to do that. Don't talk to them. They are okay. They are not okay. Jesus sees the world as a spiritual harvest. And you and I must have an eyes like Jesus to see the lost world as a spiritual harvest. We can help them. We can talk to them. We can tell them whom we have found. Jesus found us. We can tell them about Jesus. How he sought us. How he found us. How he saved us. We can tell them. And they'll be happy too. Friends, if it had happened to you, if you have been saved, you have something to tell the world. You have something to share to the world. The world needs it. They may pretend they don't need it. They may put up a front, they don't need it. But down deep in their heart, they need what you've gotten. Tell them. Amen? See compassion and see plenteous of harvest. Ours is to tell them. Tell. Laborers are few. Few are there who speak out. It takes courage, you see. To speak for Jesus in this world, it takes courage. We are timid. We are so timid. I'll tell you a story. One time, timidity. One time, I was going from house to house to witness in Nigeria and in Ghana. And I saw this man. I knew he was highly educated, highly. He was a professor in one of our universities. And he has a beard. And early in the morning, he has sat down, he has shaved his head. Beautiful house. And he was sitting under the tree in his house. Here I came with my Bible. I knocked the door. With an intellectual voice. He said, "Come on in." I came in. And he had a chair before him. And I sat down when I came in. He said, "Who asked you to sit?" So I got up. He really made me afraid. Very renowned man. We all knew him. When I got there, with my Bible here, I sat down. He said, "Well, I told you to come in, but why do you sit? Who gave you a chair?" So I got up. He said, "What do you want?" Shivering, I said, "Well, I'm here to tell you about Jesus." "Who sent you?" I said, "Jesus sent me." "Where is he?" I said, "He's here, but you can't find him. You can't see him until you know him." He said, "Sit down." Sat down. I started telling him about Jesus. The more he was listening, the more the Holy Spirit gave me power to preach Christ to him, He held a whiskey in his hand. He dropped that thing down. He dropped it down. The glass he held with whiskey, he dropped it down. And that gave me strength. I started going again, giving him Christ. And I told him how Jesus set me free. I was looking. He dropped it. Before he knew it, tears were coming. That big man, he got on his knees, accepted Jesus. Amen. He was hurting. He took that bottle, threw it away, the glass, he threw it away. So you gave me what I needed. Many. Friends, people need Jesus. We have him. Let's give him to them. They may intimidate us. The way they look, the way they dress may intimidate us. But don't care. Down deep in their heart, they are hurting, they need Jesus. Give him. Give them Jesus. Labors are few. You know why? You're always afraid. The fear of man is a snare. You fear them. Don't fear them. With God on your side, you will be victorious. We should be fearless. You know why the laborers are few? It's difficult. Winning soul is difficult. It's not an easy job. It takes a bold person to witness. It takes a bold person not to be intimidated. I would tell them, you've got to be courageous. You know what he says? "Lo, I am with you always. The presence of God shall assure us and banish every fear." Don't fear their faces. You have, and I have what they need. It's difficult. People are difficult to talk to. God knows that. That's why the laborers are few. They will intimidate us. Going to them is difficult. God knows that. And you know what? Sometimes we are so proud. We are so proud to humiliate ourselves to tell people about Jesus. In this crowd, for me to stand and talk to them about Christ, who am I? Oh, no, no, no. Let's talk about things that are. You're so proud. When I talk about Christ here, they think I'm a weakling. Only weak people. No, I'm not going to talk. We must talk everywhere. We must speak out about Jesus everywhere. We shouldn't be humiliated. People don't want to be humiliated, so they don't talk about Christ. Yes. When I talked to that man, he humiliated me. Came to his house, said, "Get up! Who asked you to sit?" What a humiliation. But you know what? Jesus helped me. And before I knew it, I was sitting and he got up from his seat and got on his knees asking for Jesus. They will humiliate you if you want to witness. It's hard. It's difficult. That's why the laborers are few. That's why we don't do it. We know it. But God should help us. And there's no physical benefit. No physical benefit. Nobody is going to give you money for witness. Nobody is going to pat you on the back for witness. No. But you know, Jesus have a spiritual benefit. Amen? Amen. When you win a soul, when you save a soul from hell, what a blessing. What a benefit. May not be physical, but it's a spiritual benefit. Let's give Christ to them. Laborers are few. Yes. Sometimes we are lazy. Lazy! We can go out. I'll tell you a story about that. Pastor was telling me here it was 110. In Africa, Nigeria, it gets hot, Mina. It got hot. And then, you see, we have the fan. When you put on the fan, it blows hot, hot, hot. We enjoy that. We sweat and we enjoy. But this time, the sun was so hot that I said, no, I'm not going to go out. That's too much. While I was saying too much, I saw somebody selling his ware. And he was saying, "Ga ID, it's the food we eat." He was saying, come and buy. And I said, "I'm saying it's too hot. Too much hot. When somebody is walking and then they take a giddy, physical food is selling, I have something better than physical food. I have spiritual food. I got my Bible. I'm going." The first door I knocked, I'm talking about laziness. The first door I knocked, I met a man working at the post office. I told him about Jesus. Talked to him. He said, "I'm lonely, I'm miserable. You've talked to me about Jesus, and you say he can save me, he can be with me." The man got saved. Amen. Talked about his sins. He repented of his sins, and he cried. He's called Michael Ugu. Today, he's a preacher. One of our preachers. Laziness. Let's put it away. And get busy for Jesus. We would win them one by one. He left us here for this purpose. We must win them. And also, sometimes we are impatient. Impatient. We talk to them, they won't yield. We talk to them, we quit. No, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on. Perseverance. Sometimes when you don't quit, that is when they know, hey, it's for real. It is for real. If it's not for real, he will quit. They get saved. Be patient. Sowing and reaping takes time. If you sow a seed, does it not take time? You have to wait. The Holy Spirit will do his work. The work will do his work. Keep on. We will win them. They need Jesus. We should be patient. Don't be impatient. And second, don't be self-centered. When you are full of yourself, you can't win souls. Self must be done away with. They will hurt you. They will say things that will hurt you. They will think, oh, you think you are spiritual than I am? That's why you carry your Bible and want to tell me about Jesus? Who are you? Self-centered. If you're a self-centered person, you quit. No, don't quit. Keep on. Keep on. That's why the laborers are few. Self-centered. And lastly, the laborers are few because we are disobedient. God said, go! Just go. Obey him. The going and sowing precious seed with tears. We sow with what? Tears. When they saw the tears, they would come. Amen? Amen. With compassion, they will come. Friends, America. I was here in 1967. Went to school 74. America has changed. I saw people, every Christian I would meet in those days, they have trucks. I saw them marketplaces. Students, they'll go soul winning. It's now a lost act in America. It's gone. No, that's why Jesus said the laborers are now few. Let's wake up. Let's wake up. Let's get excited again. Let's tell them about Jesus. The need of their soul. The need of their lives. I close. Three things. Be involved. Be involved. How can I get involved? I would do it here. I'll brighten the corner where I am. I'll be a witness for Jesus in Madisonville. I'll knock doors. I'll tell people that I know about Jesus. Getting involved. Pray for God to send people. Pray for God to send many laborers. Third, give to support missions. When I came to the church this morning, I saw the crowd you have. I sat down here and said, how can this church support so many missionaries? I was sitting thinking. And I said, God, people are here. God's people are given so that missionaries will go to the uttermost part of the world and give the message of hope, of life to the people. They'll go beyond America and tell people. That's an excellent job. But you must do it here too. You must do it here. Friends, it's good to be here in this world to make money. It's good to make our ends meet. But the purpose for which God had left us here as Christians, spiritual Christians, why God has not taken us to glory is so that we can tell others. You are in the world, but not of the world, but to shine as a light in the world of darkness. That is the purpose. Are you fulfilling the purpose? Are you really from the depth of your heart, having a desire to witness, to tell others about Jesus. May God help us. All of us, may God help us once again to be stirred up and to be witnesses everywhere we go. People are waiting to hear from you. There are some people pastor can never win, but you can if you will speak up for Jesus.